subdivision 2021-09, Brooklyn Farm.
This is a coastal area cluster subdivision to divide 42.82 acres plus or minus into 92 single family lots to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County. The property is lying on the east side of Bayard Road, which is Sussex County Route 384, approximately 0.51 mile north of Zion Church Road, which is Route 20. The tax parcel ID is District 533, Map 11, Parcel 87.00. The zoning district is AR1, Agricultural Residential District, and submitted into the record, Mr. Chairman, we have a copy of the applicant's subdivision plan, a copy of the applicant's exhibit booklet, a copy of the applicant's design booklet and environmental statement, a copy of the applicant's Chapter 99-9C response, a copy of the DELDOT service level evaluation response, a copy of the PLUS comments from the State Planning Office, and a copy of the technical advisory committee comments, including USDA and the Division of Public Health. I would note that we received two comment letters, and one of those letters is in opposition to the application. Thank you.
Okay, we thank you. Okay, you again.
Thank you.
See, we read a lot of Clark stuff this week, so.
Apparently.
So thank you. For the record, my name is Jeff Clark, Delaware Registered Landscape Architect, firm Landtech Land Planning in Bethany Beach. And joining me today is Mr. Robert Harris with Gulfstream Development. He's the landowner and applicant today. And then Mr. Ron Sutton, professional engineer with Civil Engineering Associates in Middletown, Delaware, who is doing the engineering for this this project. So I have in front of us here, and I'd like to bring up an existing conditions. There goes the, my...
That's all right. Oh,
my helper.
Oh.
I don't know. Oh, my goodness. Look out.
We're in trouble now.
Vince has grabbed the mouse.
You want the mouse?
What do you... He needs... You should be able to drive it from up there, too.
Well, I'm not sure. I know how the equipment works.
We really have spoiled these applicants, you know.
Yeah. We'll leave it alone for the time being
really
and move forward.
He'll be back in a minute. Just keep rolling.
The 42 and a half acre Brooklyn farm site is predominantly tilled open land with a dwelling and man-made open water ponds on the western portion of the property. There is a small fringe of woods and marsh along the eastern boundary that abuts the unnamed tributary of an unnamed tributary of Derrickson Creek. So as was stated earlier, the entire property is zoned AR1 and mapped as coastal area in the current Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. The site has both, the site has both central water and sanitary sewer available. The Brooklyn Farm subdivision site is bound on the north and west by farmsteads with open and cleared lands that are actively farmed. You just passed the one that we had.
All right.
This one?
Nah.
This got a deduct.
There you go. Perfect. Thank you. Thank you.
You just got a deduct for that.
And immediately south of the Brooklyn Farm property is the 90-lot hamlet at Derrickson Pond subdivision. That's a fully developed community of single-family homes on lots averaging 1/2 acre with some larger home sites. Directly across the street from the hamlet community is the 110-lot Batson Creek Estate subdivision. The Batson Creek lots are a minimum of 7,500 square feet each, and much the same as we're proposing in the Brooklyn Farm project. And other communities in the immediate vicinity include Fox Haven, Swan Estates, and the Estuary. Both federal non-tidal and Denrick tidal wetlands were found on the site and professionally delineated by Watershed Eco and surveyed as a prerequisite to our land use planning. Also, a complete professional site analysis found that there were no rare, threatened, or endangered species present and no areas of special environmental concern on the property. Each of the environmental reports prepared by James McCulley are contained in the supplemental data book prepared and submitted in advance of this hearing. The Denrick jurisdictional wetlands as delineated on the Brooklyn Farm site will be adequately buffered with a minimum of 50-foot non-disturbance zone from the single family home land use and remain in their natural condition and not be disturbed as a part of the subdivision construction. A if you look at this site, you can see that it, on the far right-hand side, which is the western side, or the eastern side, rather, of the property, you can see that little fringe of trees. The wetland line is a little further in where you see what appears to be a stream. Two existing farm ponds near Bard Road. You see those up near, you see a homestead and the two existing farm ponds. They were delineated as waters of the U.S., and as you can see, that presently the lane or driveway is the upland access to the farm and home and outbuildings that actually bisects those two ponds. If we could just move to the slide with the rendered site plan, please. Thank you. The land use plan illustrates the private street serving as the gateway to the subdivision follows this same farm lane path. The two ponds are planned for an expansion in size and will become a passive amenity for the residents and their guests. No lots within Brooklyn Farm subdivision have direct access onto Bard Road. All lots, when viewed from off-site, will present only the fronts of each home across two large ponds on either side of the entry. There is a single commercial entrance plan to connect Brooklyn Farm with Bard Road, much the same as the other existing subdivisions in this area. However, the land use plan also illustrates an alternative private street connection. If you see the cul-de-sac to the lower left-hand corner, you see there's a private an emergency access allowance there. And then there's a second alternative would be the cul-de-sac on the other side. There's a connection there. Should that land ever be developed, that would be another potential connection for interconnectivity. The Artesian Water Company has expressed in a letter to the applicant that they have adequate public water infrastructure in Bard Road, and they currently serve the existing or the abutting hamlet at Derrickson Pond subdivision to the south. All water infrastructure, of course, will be designed to Artesian standards and specs and reviewed by the State Fire Marshal's Office for conformance to the fire prevention regulations, and there is a willing and able to serve letter in the supplemental data book. Sewage disposal proposed for Brooklyn Farm will be a connection to the existing Sussex County sanitary sewer infrastructure, which again is currently in the Bard Road right-of-way. A sewer service concept evaluation report from Sussex County Engineering Department has confirmed that there is adequate capacity to serve the Brooklyn Farm project, and they've identified not only specific connection points, but there are some additional parcels in the neighborhood that this applicant will have to serve as a result of bringing sewer a little further south. So the Brooklyn Farm site abuts the Sussex County Sewer District, but is not currently included, and a copy of that sewer study is part of the book that we've submitted. The Brooklyn Farm subdivision design results in an excess of 19.33 acres of open space. By calculation, that's 45.5% of the site is open space, as that term is defined in the code. That would be actively managed by professional maintenance companies under contract to the Homeowners Association. The low residential density plan for Brooklyn Farm will result in 2.12 dwellings per acre, which is generally in keeping with the low density character of the surrounding area. All streets, sidewalks, and site grading infrastructure will be designed, constructed, and inspected for conformance to all the Sussex County Engineering Department standards and specs. And the entire Brooklyn Farm subdivision site is mapped on flood insurance rate maps as Zone X. All grading, drainage, and stormwater management facilities will by regulation be constructed and inspected for conformance to the Sussex Conservation District and Denrick standards and specs. Based upon comments offered by DLDOT, the Brooklyn Farm subdivision site is not required to undertake a traffic impact study, but instead will pay an area-wide study fee. The recommendation for off-site improvements by DLDOT staff and DLDOT regulations will become necessary as part of the subdivision entrance process, and Mr. Sutton will follow my presentation and discuss those required off-site roadway improvements. The commercial subdivision entrance permit, of course, will ensure that the DLDOT standards that safe auto and bicycle, vehicular, and pedestrian movements will occur as a part of this new subdivision construction. The Brooklyn Farm design incorporates a paved sidewalk network throughout the neighborhood, connecting residents to each other and to site amenities, and that sidewalk system is on at least one side of each street. There's also a community trail system that it's kind of hard to see on this exhibit because it's black, but there's a trail system that that meanders around the two ponds and in a couple of the open areas, so that that is also connected to the DelDOT shared use path that would be along Byard Road. So the plan proposes a total of 92 lots ranging in size from 7,500 square feet to the largest lot is 10,243 square feet. Each lot fronts on a 50-foot right-of-way with a standard crowned paved street and continuous concrete sidewalk, all, of course, designed to Sussex County engineering standards. A 17-acre community open space park area with two large open water ponds is planned, again, at the gateway of the main subdivision entrance, and within the interior of the community are two additional parks, a centrally located active amenity area with a proposed swimming pool and bathhouse. You see the red roof of the bathhouse in the plan. Along the entire perimeter of the site, adjoining existing developed residential lots is a minimum 30-foot landscape buffer. And to the north, the required 50-foot building construction setback has been maintained. It's the hatching that you see running along the northern property line there. That is the 50-foot construction setback maintained along that agricultural boundary. The community existing natural areas and open spaces, perimeter buffers, and subdivision street trees will be planted in conformance with a detailed open space management plan, that being prepared by the project landscape architect, and then perpetual maintenance of those areas will be accomplished by qualified individuals and firms specializing in this field under a direct agreement to the Brooklyn Farm Homeowners Association. Project was reviewed in November of last year by the Office of State Planning in the PLUS process. Again, that complete review and our comments or our remarks are in the supplemental data book. The State Historic Preservation Office in their PLUS comments noted there are no known archaeological or National Register listed properties on the parcel, and that the historic archaeological potential on the site is low. Street lighting will be the standard Delaware Electric Co-op subdivision poles and fixtures. Again, those would all be designed to be downward lighting to not shine off site. And I would say that the site plan demonstrates that all area and bulk requirements of the Sussex County Code can be met. So I want to run through the allowable residential density calculation for Brooklyn Farm as follows. Again, there's a total site area of 42.48 acres. The total area of tidal wetlands is 0.79 acres. That gives you a gross site area per code requirement, subtracting that tidal wetlands of 41.69 acres. The number of lots permitted is 83, or two lots per acre. In the comprehensive plan, in the coastal zone area for AR1 land, it's served with a central sewer system and public water. And if the developer has proffered a development fee, the number of dwelling units that may be permitted is 1 per 10,890 square feet, or 4 per acre, or in this case 166 units. Number of lots proposed is 92. The number of lots subject to the development fee in this application before you is 9. Again, the open space acreage proposed or preserved is 19.33 acres, or 45.5% of the site, and no woodlands are removed on this project or on this site for development of the subdivision. The Brooklyn Farm subdivision land use plan is consistent with the adjoining land uses and area zoning and will not have an adverse impact on traffic, roadways, or neighboring properties or communities. The proposed project has been planned in accordance with the 2018 comprehensive plan and its future land use map, as it is within the coastal area, one of the designated growth areas where minimum or medium and higher density can be appropriate in areas where there are features like central water and sewer, commercial uses, and employment centers in keeping with the character of the area. In addition, the comprehensive plan states that a range of housing types should be permitted in coastal areas, including single-family homes, townhomes, and multifamily units. Given the proximity of the site to the towns of Ocean View, Millville, and Bethany Beach, and the nearby Route 54 commercial corridor, there are an abundance of services, markets, and employment opportunities available. And with that, that concludes my presentation. I would ask Mr. Sutton if he would comment again on what DLDOT's going to require of the developer.
Good afternoon. Ron Sutton with Civil Engineering Associates. So, DLDOT. DLDOT is making us improve approximately 1,700 linear feet of roadway. It'll start just to the south. I don't know if we can pull the just a hair. So it kind of starts. Our road improvements start right around here.
Yeah.
And right now the road is not super elevated. We have to super elevate the road. So it's a large DLDOT improvement project, putting super elevation on that curve, straightening everything out.
I'm not being smart. I'm just asking a question. Is that an engineering term,
super elevation?
Is it? I mean, is it just an adjective you're using?
No, I guess it's an engineering term.
What does it mean?
Basically, we got to lift the road. So in a curve, when you come around the curve, centrifugal force wants to throw you out.
I understand.
So we take the road and tilt it up so that as you're curving or driving around the curve, you'll stay in your lane rather than having force throw you out.
And that process is known as super elevating.
Correct.
Thank you. Okay. I'll bet I'm not the only person that didn't know that. And if I was, oh well.
Okay. It is a pretty costly endeavor because it requires a lot of regrading. You're basically building up one side of the road. You're lowering another side of the road so that everything flows smoothly around the curb. And then we have to improve the intersection just up past Evans Road. Our new roadway will have 12-foot lanes, 8-foot shoulders, as well as a left and a right turn lane.
Okay.
So that concludes our presentation. If you have any questions you'd like to ask, we're happy to try and answer them for you.
All right.
Either myself or Mr. Sutton or Mr. Harris.
All right. Well, let's see if anyone on the commission has any questions for you, and we're going to start with Ms. Wingate.
Well, since I drive that road on average 4 times every day, I'm happy to have any road improvements on it.
Are you super excited about the super elevation?
I am. So I won't bounce off. I just have a couple questions. There was some concern from neighbors at the hamlet about the fence, and when I went out on the property, I didn't walk all the way over there because it was quite tall. I didn't want to get chiggers. There's an existing fence that's kind of dilapidated, it sounds like. Will that all be removed and or a new fence replaced?
Is it on our property? I'm not sure.
It's on your property, according to the letter that we got.
I'm sure you'd be happy to remove the fence if it's fallen down.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm Robert Harris. I'm the developer and owner. If it's on our property and dilapidated, it'll come down.
Okay. And then there was also a question about possibly putting up a new fence in addition to the buffer.
Well, the buffer's 30 feet.
Yeah, but I mean on the inside of the buffer, I guess. For more screening is kind of how I was interpreting the letter.
Okay. That's unusual that you would have. Usually the code refers to you having either a fence, a berm, or a buffer.
This came from a letter from a neighbor.
Understood. But that would be in this particular case, unlike the previous application, there are no existing wooded fringes here. So this is all going to be planted at great expense to create that buffer.
I don't think so. There's a buffer that's in between the hamlet now. There's trees.
I stand corrected. A lot of that is a little misleading because of the shadows. But there are some trees there now, but that's still going to be enhanced to 30 feet.
All right. Just another comment I appreciate, and I know you did it because of the ponds that have been delineated, but that's a great look coming in off of a main road and to have some green space there rather than having the houses right up against the road.
Thank you.
The other question I have is, and this goes back to another letter that we received, interconnectivity, and I don't mean to steal your thunder. But
it's okay. We can share.
Lot 58 at the Hamlet does show where it would connect there. And I don't mean for more traffic. My question would the developer be willing to make that pedestrian for interconnect walking back and forth on to keep people off the main road, because it is a terrible road. And I know that they share use with the Batson Creek because I see people walking back and forth from the Hamlet already. And then emergency personnel, emergency vehicles only, to eliminate that lot 58 to allow people to walk back and forth and then emergency response.
If we can scoot the plan to the right, Jamie, the other way, I'm sorry. Keep going, please. There you go. So there, Ms. Wingate, in my opinion, is a more appropriate location for emergency vehicles to get quick access to the site directly off of Byard Road and not making their way through another community. The pedestrian access, I can't imagine, will be an issue. The connection of a road there, I don't...
So you're suggesting you would put off of the cul-de-sac?
So we're going to make an allowance there for that to become an emergency access. I know the board from time to time has concerns that if there's a single entrance, that there is a possibility that it could be inaccessible.
I'm fine with that. I just was trying to accommodate the pedestrian.
And the pedestrian access is fine. I don't think anybody would object to that.
To come in through somebody's lot?
We'd have to park there. I think there's an opportunity to...
We could relocate 58. I mean, there's other spaces in here, but I can relocate 58 pretty easily. And
it just looks like that would be a really easy...
An access.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. And then I'm just going to ask, because I did the last one, do you have any idea what type of homes you're going to build there?
It would be in conformance to the same type of homes that have been built in the other communities that we've done in the area, like the Woodlands.
Okay.
Single family, 2,000 to 3,000 square feet, pricing $400,000 to $600,000,
$700,000. Okay, thank you. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Hoy-Stevens.
Okie dokie. I want to know how you're going to overcome the soil. The soils reports were all that this is going to be nothing but flooding and tearing up basements and cracking in the frost and all sorts of stuff. So what exactly are you going to do to overcome this really poorly draining soil?
I'll have our engineer address that question. Thank you.
Well, we did a detailed geotechnical analysis across the entire site. There is a layer of clay just underneath of our topsoil, but once you get below that clay, it's well-drained soils. For stormwater, once we pop through that clay, we have ample room for stormwater management.
But everybody's yards are going to be wet when it rains. I live on one of these clay sites, so yes, I am telling you, I'm not asking you.
Well, I mean, we have everything graded to run to the streets, and everything's graded to run to swales and the stormwater management areas. I mean, nothing is designed to kind of hold on site, so I would think that it would run and follow the conveyance that we're designing. As far as basements, there's no proposed basements here. Everything would probably be slab on grade.
Okay. And it says that all your runoff is going to go into Derrickson Creek?
Well,
it does say that. So,
yes.
I mean,
yeah, well, there's actually a natural divide, and it's right above the clubhouse, right where the lots are kind of separated. There's that section of open space. Mm-hmm. Everything to the left there, or the west, drains to those two ponds, and then everything to the east drains back and eventually makes it to that pond and will drain into the tack ditch on that side. So the top drains to the tack ditch, and the bottom drains to the tack ditch.
And what access have you made to the tack ditch? That was one of the things that was requested in here, so that it can be maintained.
Well, if you go back to
there's supposed to be a right-of-way to it somewhere.
Yeah, if you go back to the top, please. So the tack ditch is actually the right-of-way is on the other side of the property there. So the tack ditch,
Yeah, it begins right in this area. And the right-of-way is over here and then follows the tax ditch, so there's really no right-of-way on our property on this project.
Okay, but they have requested it in the notes that there be one, so.
Tax ditch is asking for any time we get near their tax ditches to review and address the right-of-ways and then submit for court order changes if we need to. In this instance, we don't need a court order change.
Okay, and what happens, going back to the, I'm sorry, I got way late. On the stormwater going into Derrickson's Creek, because I know this is a pretty fragile area, what happens to make sure that that is filtered in some way or they're not getting everybody's lawn fertilizer going into Derrickson Creek?
Well, we have to meet the current resource protection volume, which is, you know, the RPV volume through DENREC and Sussex Conservation District, and that's what will be done with the both stormwater ponds. We'll meet both the RPV and the CV, which is our 10-year, and the 100-year storm event. Okay. So we'll comply with the regulations.
And is there active hunting on the property to the north? There's a duck blind there.
I don't know.
I would need, at the very minimum, I want that put into the covenants that there could be active hunting nearby, and so don't, you know, get your panties in a bunch if you hear a gunshot.
Okay. We can word it that way, too.
But if you can word it exactly like that.
I'm not going to word it that way.
I'm sorry, I couldn't come up with a better. But if there is active hunting there, if somebody's here and knows about that, please let us know. What are biofillers? Is that just?
Bioswales, biofilters.
Filters, what are biofilters?
It's like a bioswale. It's a long, flat swale used to help provide quality management, kind of cuts down on the nutrients that are making its way to the ponds.
Okay.
And the sediment.
Okay, right. I was assuming it was like...
And sediments. So in this case, the two front ponds, we've actually designed, we're designing the roads to be super elevated again. High side up against the houses, low side towards the ponds, so that when it rains, it'll run off and then filter through the grass before it makes its way to the pond to help with our quality and sediment reduction.
Okay. Let's see. I also had questions about the interconnectivity at lot 58, or just because there was a fire in my neighborhood recently and we could all gotten in big trouble with just one entrance there. My last question is, when Jim McCauley wrote about what endangered species could be on the property, did he actually go to the property or just wrote right because of the way it is, this could be there?
He not only visited the property, he has in the book there are comments in writing from the agencies. So you got National Marine Fisheries and the state agency. So
the one, well, he said there was the one, but it just the way it was written, I got confused and I thought, well, I will just ask because I don't mind sounding stupid either.
It isn't very well written by the agencies. It's the area they're talking about is enormous. So the Derrickson Pond is, I guess, the critter they were talking about was found there. We're pretty far removed from that. And so his claim was in his report that the likelihood of it being on this particular site because it's farmed was...
That it could be, he said it'd be like by the farm pond would be the only place it would be. So that's what I was just...
Nothing was found during, and he did visit the site.
Okay, thank you. That's all my questions, and you can go and ask the parking question.
That's it, parking. Parking same as the other one. What's the parking conditions for
each
resident?
It'd be the same answer I gave before, that each of the homes would have a two-car garage, and that typically the homes are set back at least 20 feet so that you can not only wash your car, but park your cars or guests there in front of your home before it hangs over the sidewalk.
No other questions?
Okay, thank you.
Not for me, then.
Councilman, either, thank you.
Okay, gentlemen.
I have some suggested conditions.
Thank you.
Pass along.
All right. Thank you.
Our presentation.
All right, sir. If you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if anyone here has an interest in your application. Is there anyone who would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2021-09 Brookland Farm? Is Anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2021-09? All right, sir, we'll start with you. Come on up, give us your name. You may have the floor.
Yes, thank you. My name is Bill Easton from Frankfort, Delaware. Mm-hmm. My home is on Jonathan Drive, one of these homes that faces on the southern border. Right out our front door will be the new project.
Okay.
I'm not necessarily speaking in opposition, but there are a couple of things I'd like clarified, sure, maybe stipulated. Sure. On the southern border of the proposed project, there's an established hedgerow that separates the Brooklyn Farm property from the hamlet at Derrickson Pond HOA property. The hedgerow contains many mature trees with 50 feet and higher, and some lesser trees and bushes. The hedgerow exists within the 30-foot buffer that's proposed and on the hamlet HOA property. Mm-hmm. The hedgerow provides both a sight and a sound buffer between the properties. I request, as a condition for the approval of the Brooklyn Farm project, it be made clear that the existing hedgerow be left undisturbed. And this, to my viewpoint, benefits both us and the hamlet, and also the new homeowners. It will provide that same buffer for them.
Okay.
The second thing I wanted to talk about, if I may, is Bayard Road. Holly, you said you're familiar with it, so you know it's a two-lane country road with no shoulders. It's become increasingly an important north-south route for this part of the county. Traffic includes a goodly number of dump trucks, work trucks of all kinds, and the occasional tractor-trailer, along with the usual passenger vehicles. Especially during the warm months, there is notable bicycle traffic. Overtaking vehicles must enter the oncoming lane to pass the bicyclists, courting disaster both for the bicycle operators and for the vehicle occupants. As additional subdivisions are approved and built along Bayard Road and the connecting routes, the road becomes more dangerous. I ask that before this subdivision is approved, a traffic study be completed for Bayard Road. This study should include the expected traffic increase of not only the Brooklyn Farm subdivision, but also all other approved and under construction projects along this traffic corridor. If the study finds Bayard Road inadequate for the projected increases, any new subdivision approvals along this corridor should be postponed until Bayard Road is upgraded to meet the increased traffic demands. And that's what I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
any
you.
Questions?
Nope.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Who else would like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir. Come on up here.
My name is Lee Warren. I live directly across the street from this project. Down from that opening it's going, but I was very happy to see Lot 58 be there, mm-hmm, because we already get enough people coming into the neighborhood. I live just south of that. Mm-hmm. Any increase that is going to increase traffic through our neighborhood, people already that either reside there or decide to visit, fly down that section of road already and have increased traffic flow. Our houses are all 3,000 to 4,000 square feet. It's a pretty pristine neighborhood, and I'm really concerned about any increased traffic coming through that neighborhood at all, particularly when you've got people that are sitting right there, and you've got headlights hitting them that they don't need to be hit with. If somebody's coming across this right here, and that's where I reside. But the increased traffic flow coming into the neighborhood, it's going to be past least resistance. Somebody's not going to want to go that way through their neighborhood. They're going to cut through ours. And again, our houses.
Would you be willing to consider it as an emergency only with a gate on it so people wouldn't be coming through? I'm telling you, yeah. I've been in places where, you know.
And that's what we, my previous neighborhood, we had that. We had gates set up, which is fine if it's an emergency vehicle only. I could see that. And to tell you the truth, we have so many people from the neighborhood across from us at Batson that already walk through our neighborhood it's very hard for me to get in my driveway sometimes because of the amount of foot traffic or bicycle traffic coming through our neighborhood because of the lake. You brought up an excellent point, and that's the runoff. This is the largest spring-fed lake in Delaware. That water is pristine. That water came about, somebody was doing beach replenishment, they hit a spring, it filled up. That water's pristine, we all swim in it. We have great restrictions on our, from our association and our covenants to make sure we're not doing anything to damage that lake. You can't even have an electric motor in that lake. This is pristine water. My concern is anything built over there, the water comes over here, runoff onto the street because there are, not only do we have swales, there are boxes there, the water's coming in and it goes to the lake. We're really, really careful what we do in our lawns, how we treat our property to make sure that lake stays as pristine as it is. Fishing's phenomenal, swimming's great. I don't want to see it change. I mean, we've got houses right now. There's a house going around the corner there. It's for sale for $1 million. I don't want to see our property values go down because of stuff like that. If that lake gets disturbed, we're done. So I don't want to see that kind of runoff. If it's an emergency or something like that, I mean, I'd still like to see it just like it is if we were protected. But I really don't want to see any access road going through there. I don't know who in our neighborhood would possibly request anything like that. It's, if anything, we want to keep it like it is. We have
your neighborhood was built during the livable Delaware period.
Yeah.
When it was required.
Okay. Yeah, okay. It just, I don't want to see our neighborhood damaged. But especially that lake. I mean, that lake, we have an environmental study right now to make sure it stays pristine, what we have to do to maintain and actually install grasses on our swales to make sure that that's cleaning the water that's coming off the street, coming down it. And we're spending a lot of money to keep that lake pristine. That lake is why people live in this neighborhood. And I don't want to see it disturbed. And I really don't want to see any more traffic coming through there. We've got a lot of money in our houses. I don't want to lose it.
Gotcha. Okay.
Any questions?
My father dug that lake.
Your father dug that lake?
Thank you. Thanks. Okay, anyone else like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir, come on up.
Apparently you did a good job.
My name is Lawrence Long. My address is 36079 Bard Road, Frankfort, Delaware. And I am the L in L&D Long, the adjoiner. And I just want to confirm to Ms. Stevenson's comment about hunting. There is active hunting on the property, mainly deer and goose. Just want to say that much for my boys.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, sir. We thank you. Okay. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? All right, then. Operator, is there anyone standing by that would like to speak in favor of or in opposition to subdivision 2021-09 Brookland Farm?
If there is anyone on the line in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5. Again, if there is anyone on the line in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5*. At this time, there is no one on the line who wishes to speak.
All right, we thank you. Anyone on the commission have any further questions?
Mm-hmm. I think I've asked enough.
Okay. There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the day to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Thank you.